First, the president says he plans to change the status of an estimated 5 million undocumented people living in this country. According to the White House, the president's plan would prevent the deportation of as many as 4 million undocumented immigrants if they have lived here for 5 years and have no criminal record. An additional 1 million will be granted protection through additional unspecified parts of the president's order. But one blow to immigration advocates, the presidents of Dreamers, those who fall under the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, or DACA, will not be granted deportation reprieve. Republicans are up in arms over this announcement, with some of the far right calling for impeachment and more moderate voices claiming the president is overreaching. For a few minutes today, we want to put aside the politics and talk about how this executive order works in practice. On the line is Myra Rubio Limon, an undocumented immigrant who was brought to the U.S. as a child. She receives protection from deportation under DACA, and it looks like her parents will not be a part of the 5 million to remain here legally. Myra, what's your reaction to all of this?
Like you said, John, it's a blow because we have been fighting for this for so long. But just the fact that President Obama is going to make an announcement shows that if we keep fighting, we can reach what we want.
And did you expect that your parents might be included here?
You know what? I did. We don't know exactly what the announcement is going to be, but this is what we're fighting for. You know, they are the original Dreamers. They came before us, and they are the reason we keep on fighting. We want something for our parents. We want something for the Dreamers who were left out in the first time. We want something for those people who are working hard every day. And yes, I do want my parents to be included, as well as the parents of the other members or my brothers and sisters in our organization.
Also with us is Cyrus Mehta, who's an immigration attorney here in New York. Cyrus, thanks for coming into the studio.
Thank you, John.
So what would be the difference between Myra's parents and the people who fall under this classification of having been here in the United States for 5 years unauthorized without a criminal record?
We're still waiting for the details to come out. But what we've heard so far is that only the parents of U.S. citizen children or lawful permanent residents will get this reprieve. These are the 4 million parents who are likely to get the reprieve. And therefore, Myra's parents, who are the parents of a DACA recipient, may not be included. But again, we don't have the details. There may be other forms of relief that might become available. So it's basically waiting to see with great anticipation.
And you're an immigration lawyer, not a constitutional lawyer. Do you think the omission of Myra's parents might have to do with the president's sense of his constitutional limits or his political limits, or this is just something he's not allowed to do?
The president has broad discretion with respect to immigration matters, particularly with regards to whom he wants to remove from the United States. And this is essentially a political decision. It's highly controversial. He's pushed this through. And in order for it to be palatable, it probably makes more political sense, at least from his perspective, to limit it to parents of U.S. citizen children or lawful permanent residents. But again, we don't have the details. There might be other reprieves for parents of DACA recipients. I believe it should be as broad as possible.
So how did DACA change your life, Myra? And help me to understand, and for our listeners to understand, how you and your family have really followed all the rules with the exception of crossing a border.
So I graduated in 2009 from Southgate Senior High School. And at that moment in my life, I did not want to pursue a higher education just for the fact that I knew I wasn't going to be able to do much because of the high cost of going to school and because I didn't have a social to get a job. So when DACA came out, it changed my life completely. I am now able to have a driver's license. I am driving with no fear, knowing that I am not at risk of deportation. I am now able to attend Miami-Dade College. I can help my family in so many more ways. And, you know, this is really life-changing. I'm out of the shadows. I can publicly say I am not afraid. I can go to work. I am a member of society, that I know I'm working hard for what I want. And, you know, this is something that is going to help everyone so much, just for the fact that you have people who are even afraid when they're walking down the street and they see a police officer, they turn the other way. That is not what America is about. That is not what we want for our community.
All right. What Myra describes here is that the principles of DACA allow her to help her parents, even though they remain unauthorized, in the sense that she doesn't have any fear. She can help to assist them in paperwork and going out and dealing with whatever it is they need to deal with in their lives. Will this executive order create a community of people who no longer have fear of deportation, who can also help family members, who can also be of assistance to people in their own communities?
Absolutely. You know, John, we have a broken immigration system, and it's been broken for more than two decades. And that's the reason why we have such a buildup of undocumented people. And this executive policy will allow millions of people to come out of the woodwork and live normal lives, as Myra just described. It's going to be wonderful for these people. And this is just a step in the right direction. It's not going to be perfect. But we had DACA in 2012, which was limited to a small group of people. Now we have a broader group of people. And as more and more people come out of the woodwork, get legalized, and become part of America and this great country and the dream, they will be able to push for greater relief. Ultimately, we need Congress to pass comprehensive immigration reform. The president can only do so much through an executive order, but we need to have Congress to pass a law that would fix the whole problem and solidify the status of these people and many more.
Anticipating people who will be coming to your office to figure out what the heck's the deal here, what sort of paperwork do people like this have to carry? Do DACA recipients and DACA beneficiaries carry something, you know, like a green card to indicate that they are not deportable based on their status right now? Will it be a yellow card, a red card, a
It might just be an approval letter along with a worker authorization document.
So you have to carry with you at all times.
It would probably be preferable, but even if you don't carry the work authorization document, they can look you up in the system and see you're an approved beneficiary of this program. But before people get there, they will have to establish that they meet the criteria. And this is a discretionary program. The folks who are going to apply and who have to establish eligibility have to show that they've otherwise been of good moral character, they've not been convicted of crimes. There will be these criteria. And they will also have to establish that they have lived here for 5 years through tax returns, through rent receipts, through bank statements, and other documentation.
Now, are these people potential political targets if the Congress wants to reverse what the president has done and said all those people who got those papers, who went down and signed up for all this stuff and submitted all of their records and that the government knows exactly where they are, these people get out tomorrow?
That is theoretically possible, but whether in practical terms that would ever happen is unlikely. It's a risk worth taking, because when millions come forward, I can't see any Congress taking it away, because it would be politically problematic for that Congress and for the future of that party if they want to win elections.
Myra, let's go back to your very first memories of when you heard about DACA and the feeling that you had and what unauthorized immigrants here in the United States might be feeling about this executive order we're going to hear about later today.
I think fear is always going to be there, especially because you know that there is a slight possibility that this can be taken away. And even though I was fearful when the announcement came out, I have nothing more to lose. I was already here without a status, and I am without a status because this is just a work permit. But, you know, to the people who might benefit from this, I say this is an opportunity to grow, an opportunity to pursue your dreams. And yes, it is scary, but it is also worth it. It's life-changing. And I was very afraid, but at the end of the day, I felt like I had nothing to lose, and it was either all or nothing.
From Homestead, Florida, Myra Rubio-Limon is speaking to us, an undocumented immigrant, a beneficiary of DACA, even though her parents won't be. Myra, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Cyrus Mato, before we go, what Obama is doing tonight is nothing new, right? There have been amnesties and unilateral actions from other presidents.
Sure. President Reagan, as well as the first President Bush, did something quite similar. After the first amnesty was announced in 1986, their family members were left out of the legislation. So both Presidents Reagan and Bush passed executive orders that allowed family members to stay in the United States just like this with work authorization. And what was remarkable is that ultimately the U.S. Congress incorporated this executive order into law. And that's historically been the case.
The crazy way we try to fix our broken immigration system.
And even with DACA, you know, the Senate bill that got passed last year, which the House has not taken up, incorporated DACA into the legislation.
So presidents acting laterally, Congress picks up the slack later on, but it's still a system that's broken. Cyrus, thanks so much.
Thank you so much for having
me. Cyrus Mehta is an immigration attorney, and we earlier spoke with Myra Rubio Limon, who's an undocumented immigrant in Homestead, Florida. So what do you think?
Tana from Santa Rosa. Just like Lincoln with his Emancipation Proclamation, I believe Obama is finally choosing to help those that the GOP would rather ignore. Education, not deportation.
From Kingston, Massachusetts, I support immigration reform, but I would have liked to see a more cooperative move from the president rather than I'm over here and right and you're all wrong. Doesn't set the table for open negotiations or bode well for any other issues to be talked about and honestly debated. From Ann Arbor, Michigan, yes, I agree with his decision. These people deserve peace of mind. They have lived most of their lives here. They're not taking anything away from the American people, and most of them are very productive members of society. Other presidents have done this, so why shouldn't President Obama? From Huntington, West Virginia, he is a president and not a monarch. I believe we need to secure our southern border before we do anything else, and I think any executive order will be reversed by the next Republican in the White House and will do more harm than good to the immigration discussion. Call us with your views at 877-8-MY-TAKE.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.